Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob, and happy weekend.
Yeah, and we're looking at some pleasant weather here today in Vancouver and through the weekend. So, hey, let's go for it.
Bob, we have some listener questions. Our first one comes from Michael, and I think he's got a couple of questions for us. The first one: hi, Bob and Jim. Market Watch headline, something just snapped. Consumers panic search pawn shop near me. Well, maybe they got to pawn stuff.
Maybe they have to pawn stuff. But I saw one of those a few years ago, and it was high-end stuff being pawned, like special watches and stuff like that. So it'd be interesting to read the article. But people, I guess, you know, also, I think credit cards are pretty well maxed out, too. So, hey, there you go.
Mm-hmm. Bob, our second question from Michael. After the Trudeau government in 2020 created $1 trillion in debt to fight the pandemic, Prime Minister Trudeau said the following: we made a very specific and deliberate choice throughout this pandemic to help Canadians. We decided to take on the debt to prevent Canadians from having to do it. If the federal government hadn't taken on significant debt in order to spend money to Canadians to support businesses and households. Bob, I'm even more confused. Don't Canadian citizens have to service that debt through higher taxes and inflation?
Yeah, that was Trudeau after the fact. He's on the CO2 carbon heat warming craziness, and they were spending money anyways, and then with the crisis and then inflation going up and people running out of money, then he came in and explained that it was their wonderful government spending that were helping things, and it's all a lot of nonsense. And the people are starting to see through it. So, and Trudeau, of course, is just a puppet for the World Economic Forum. So he's acting on behalf of the WEF, introducing those policies to Canadians. And he's not in any way representing the Canadian electorate. I'll be very happy when he somehow is forced out of office.
Our second question comes from our good friend Willem Gruters in the Netherlands. Jim and Bob, when I look at the markets, I'm confused. Rising both long and short-term interest rates and rising stock markets would suggest that happy days are here again. There are, however, a number of signs that are worrying me. The yield curve seems to be as steep as never before. Gross domestic income in the U.S. has been going down the last 12 months, and the advanced decline line continues on its path lower. My biggest concern is rising interest rates. Rates in both 2022 and 23 seem to suggest that the 40-year period of falling interest rates is finally over. However, the realization that the U.S. has entered a recession actually should push U.S. interest rates lower for, say, the next 6 to 12 months. Is Mr. Hoy willing to share his opinion on what's going to happen, could happen with interest rates in the near future? Is the 40-year time frame of falling interest rates finally over?
I think we stopped the question there.
Yeah.
The street is interesting, and I've got a piece published ready to go that in a boom, short-dated interest rates go up, like three-month treasury bills. And then in the Fed, in order to look like it's in charge, then it raises the its administered rate, making a big fuss about it. And then also, for some reason, the street worries about rising short rates. They don't seem to understand that short rates, like T-bills, go up in a boom. They're a positive thing. And then they go down, and interest rates fall in a boom. But there will be a transition coming up here quite soon. We had a very good example in September 2007, similar conditions. Street wasn't liking short rates going up, and were calling that the decline in short rates would help. And this guy was the chief investment officer at a big firm in the States, and he says it's absolutely certain that the Fed lowering interest rates will help the boom. And all you have to do is look back over 2,000 years of history. Short rates go up in a boom, and they go down in the bust. And then if you take a chart and run, say, the three-month T-bill rate against the S&P, you'll find that there are times when the S&P falls the fastest as the three-month bill rate is falling the fastest. So we're dealing with a myth here. And I'm going to leave it with the first part of the question saying, short rates, like three-month T-bills going up, is good. Three-month treasury bill rates going down is bad.
The second part of Willem's question, frankly, I don't buy the myth that rising inflation is the main driver behind rising interest rates. The best example for that is what happened between mid-2007 and mid-2008 when oil prices went from about $50 to over $140. While oil prices were going higher, U.S. interest rates actually continued to fall in that same time frame, and they certainly did not go higher.
Yeah, interest rates were going down. I'll just leave it at that. Mm. And thanks very much for the question.
Now, Willem has a third part to his question here. He likes us and he likes your way you give information, Bob. Bob, in the region I live, mortgage costs, that is repaying the debt and paying interest, have gone up by more than 80 to 90%. They even briefly doubled earlier this year since the second half of 2021. If affordability of an average Dutch dwelling is to be restored to the more affordable level of, say, mid-2021, with the rates of today, then the price of a dwelling must go down by 50%. That would also make a lot of people in my country very unhappy, because then it's my estimate that hundreds of thousands of Dutch households will be pushed underwater with their mortgage. Ouch! And oh my God!
Yeah, thanks very much, Willem.
Well, what do you think here? We have...
Listen, I'll repeat it.
Yeah.
Interest rates go up in a boom. Interest rates go down in a bust. That's three-month treasury bills. And the longer end kind of wanders around, and sometimes it can be independent for a while. But there's nothing we can do about it. It wasn't Fed policy that drove interest rates up. It was market forces that drove up interest rates.
We'll have some interesting headlines when Bob Hoy returns.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Some of the interesting headlines that caught Bob's eye this week. The first one is from the China Observer. Communist Chinese Party nightmare is coming. 13,500 tycoons flee China. $48 billion American taken away. Highest ever.
Yep. I think, you know, I remember reading a while ago that in Berlin and East Germany, when the East German communists came down and put in the Berlin Wall and everything else, they were losing top intellectual talent, everything else from East Germany into the Western world. And that is what really forced them to put down the Iron Curtain. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with China. It's an immense country, but the wealth has been made in the southern parts, and because those southern provinces were highly influenced by Hong Kong and Taiwan. So I think that it's going to be an amazing struggle there. But, tycoons are fleeing China and taking their money with them.
Headline from Reddit, VW says EV market has tanked.
Yeah, and then I see that a few weeks ago in Canada, the Trudeau announced that they were backing a Volkswagen plant in the prairies somewhere, maybe Manitoba, that was going to be making something to do with batteries. So, yeah, but I think Volkswagen might be putting a very good eye on this. And my own view is that the electric vehicle has been a very expensive fad, and expensive in cost to buy, and also very expensive in the harm that it does to the environment in assembling all the crazy stuff that goes into these things. So we're glad to see them gone.
Well, an EV is a copper pig. It uses 277% more copper than an ICE vehicle. 83 kilograms of copper, that's 183 pounds.
Yep.
Where are we going to get all that copper, Bob?
Oh, there's lots of copper around. And then there's also all the exotic elements that go into this. And environmentally pure in many people's minds, but environmentally harmful to build.
Headline from Reuters, global factory output slumps on weak demand.
Yeah, maybe somebody pulled the pin there, Jim.
Headline from the Financial Times, millions of U.S. borrowers brace for return of student debt payments.
Yeah, of course, Biden, the resident in the White House, has been going on about easing the student loan thing, and that just ends up with ordinary citizens subsidizing those who are privileged enough to get to university and do it all on the tick. So there's some adjustment going on there, because I don't think the political forces are going to allow Biden to play that scam.
Yeah, I wonder why I should have to pay for someone who decided that getting a degree in Greek history would help them with their economic future.
Right.
Yeah. A headline from Reuters, Central Bank Surprise Sees June Become Bumper 2023 Rate Hike Month.
Yeah, that was a good one, Jim. There was a whole rush of central banks around the world raising their administered rates. Of course, it followed the rise in Treasury bill rates. So, so many increases in administered rates that it merited a headline.
From the Wall Street Journal, America's factory building boom.
Yeah, they're building factories to make electric cars. I don't know about it, but yeah, I know this one had to do with chips and electronics and stuff like that, beginning to try and make more of that stuff at home. Yeah, it's all right.
Well, part of the drive is that they don't want to be totally dependent on China for all their consumer goods and computer chips. Mm. However, I recently saw a discussion on business television that said you can't beat China at what they do best. And that's build things. They have lots of people willing to work very hard for very little to build stuff. Headline from Reuters, why a $1.5 trillion surge of corporate financing is choking on higher rates.
Yeah, this has to do with the whole sophisticated lending side of the equation. And the rising rates are beginning to be felt in that department as well.
Bob, always fun chatting with you. Look forward to next week.
For sure. We had a good get-together today, and look forward to next week, Jim.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy, chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He was speaking to us from Vancouver. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter @HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.